From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message dealing with the Gospel of John. A major emphasis in John's Gospel is the mystery of the Incarnation. The meaning of the Incarnation is found in John's identification of Christ with the various items in the tabernacle, which were but types of the reality found in the Lord Jesus. In addition, John deals with the manifestation of Christ's glory revealed in his person, his passion, and his resurrection power. There is much emphasis upon the mercy of the Incarnation, revealed in Christ's gracious works, as well as in the truth of his words. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, The Glory of God Incarnate. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Becoming Fit for Glory. The text is found in Psalm 84 and verse 11. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace is what we need just now, and it is to be had freely. What can be freer than a gift? Today we shall receive sustaining, strengthening, sanctifying, satisfying grace. He has given daily grace until now, and as for the future, that grace is still sufficient. If we have but little grace, the fault must lie in ourselves, for the Lord is not straitened, neither is he slow to bestow it in abundance. We may ask for as much as we will, and never fear a refusal. He giveth liberally, and upbraideth not. The Lord may not give gold, but he will give grace. He may not give gain, but he will give grace. He will certainly send us trial, but he will give grace in proportion thereto. We may be called to labor and to suffer, but with the call there will come all the grace required. What an and is that in the text! And glory! We do not need glory yet, and we are not yet fit for it, but we shall have it in due order. After we have eaten the bread of grace, we shall drink the wine of glory. We must go through the holy, which is grace, to the holiest of all, which is glory. These words, and glory, are enough to make a man dance for joy. A little while, and then glory forever.
Thousands fall.
It was a number of years ago that Dr. Alan Cairns preached these messages, in which he explains the teaching of each of the New Testament books. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation, a book which tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're happy to make them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, supplies of A Sure Foundation are very limited. Be sure to request your copy today.
gracious works of Christ can be seen, first of all, in the 8 great sign miracles that are recorded in John's Gospel. Now, there are miracles in the other Gospels, but you see, in John's Gospels, they become signs. That's why the selection is made here. They are signs, they are evidences, they are proofs that Christ Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Let me run over these with you. Chapter 2, he turned water to wine. Chapter 4, he healed the nobleman's son. Chapter 5, he healed the man paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 6, he fed the 5,000. Chapter 9, he gave sight to the man born blind. Chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And chapter 21, he gave the miraculous draught of fishes. Now, in every one of these, there's proof that Christ is the sovereign Lord of all creation. Water to wine. Sickness to health. 5 loaves, 2 fishes to feed 5,000. Walking on top of the water. You know, what it's saying is, Jesus Christ is sovereign. I know that some of you like to think in very big terms. Some of you are a lot cleverer than I'll ever be. So let me throw out what way the theologians would say it. And you can think this out. What John is saying, these areas, the marriage in Cana of Galilee when the wine ran down, the sickness of the nobleman's son, the man at the pool of Bethesda, the hungry 5,000, etc. These are all the areas of contingency. These are all the areas where this might happen, that might happen, where we're all bound by the various so-called laws of creation. Now comes the sovereign Christ of God, the Almighty God, and he makes every area of contingency subject to his absolute authority. There's nothing contingent to Christ. In other words, let me put that very simply. There is nothing that depends on anything but the sovereign will of Christ. That's what he's saying. You try to walk in water. Try it. Some of you have been trying to learn to swim for 25 years and you still can only do it like a brick. Try to walk in water. Go out there among the poor and the needy and the homeless and take 5 loaves. Even these big, giant party-sized packages you can get. You break them up and see if you can feed 5,000. Now you may have the best intentions and the strongest will in the world, but you are absolutely bound. You can't do those things. You see, you are subject, governed by these laws. But Jesus Christ comes and he governs the laws. That's what those miracles are saying. He is the sovereign Lord of all. He has all power. And yet the beauty of it all is that in the exercise of this all power, he didn't come to destroy us. He came to save us. John 3:17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God could have sent Christ to condemn you. He could have sent Christ to destroy you. What did God owe to you? Nothing. Except judgment. But he sent him. Not to condemn, but to save. And those 8 miracles, you know, will show you in your life the areas in which the power of Christ operates and where you need it to operate. Think of them again. The marriage of Cana of Galilee. Every one of us needs Christ in the home. You need Christ in the marriage. Any young couple getting married that doesn't have Christ as the chief guest, and indeed as the governor, is a fool. There will be times, however much the love that draws two people together, there will be times when the wine will run out. And you will need the miracle-working grace and power of the living Christ of God in your marriage. Like the nobleman, you'll need Christ's touch upon your children. Like the man at the pool of Bethesda, in the times of your own great weakness, you're going to need the mighty power of the Christ who is sovereign Lord over all things. You're going to need sustenance and satisfaction. And only Christ will be able to give that and break the bread and give it to you when you're hungry. There'll be times when you're in the storms of life and the sea of life will be whipped up into a frenzy. And you're going to need one who can walk on the top of the water and say, "Peace be still." You need one to illuminate your soul, to give you life from the dead, and to then to send you forth and bless your service to the salvation of many. Only Christ can do that. It's interesting to me that his last sign miracle in John was the draught of fishes. You remember, according to Matthew and Mark, when he had set out to call the disciples, he said, "I'll make you fishers of men." Now John finishes the story, and as a farewell gesture, he gave this great assurance. They let down the net and Christ filled it. He filled it with the miraculous draught of fishes. What he was saying, "I've called you to be fishers of men. I am sovereign. I will fill the gospel net. I have set my face to save multitudes." That's the final sign miracle of Christ. So the miracles prove his person here. And the miracle set before us very clearly his purpose of mercy. But so do his gifts. I'm not going to take time to go through this, but let me encourage you to do this. Turn to John chapter 4 and verse 10. And you have the first of 8 references to the gifts in John's Gospel. The gift of God, the water of life. Chapter 10 and verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Chapter 13 and verse 15. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Chapter 14 and verse 16. The gift of the other comforter. Verse 27. My peace give I unto you. Then chapter 17. Verse 8. I have given them the words which thou gavest me. 14. I have given them thy word. 22. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now you study those things out. Let me point something out to you. The first gift is grace. And the last gift is glory. And he gives you everything in between. The Lord will give grace and glory. What mercy in the incarnation. That's why he came. But you know, if the sign miracles declare his grace and these gifts declare his mercy, there's an even greater work that demonstrates the mercy of Christ as nothing else. And that is the work at Calvary. Behold the Lamb. That's the very first chapter. Chapter 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Chapter 10, verse 11, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. chapter 19 and verse 30. There upon the cross, he makes heaven, earth, and hell echo with the cry, "It's finished." There's the greatest exhibition of the mercy of God. He is full of grace in his works, in his gifts, and in his death. And he's full of truth. Now this comes to his words. Do you remember the words of those who were sent to arrest Christ in John 7:46? "Never man spake like this man." They were right. Listen to the emphasis. This is just some of the emphasis that you'll find in John's Gospel. Jesus said in chapter 7, verse 16, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." In chapter 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the truth." Chapter 5, verse 32, we have God's witness to Christ, and it's true. In chapter 7, verse 18, you have the seam, that is Christ seeking the glory of him that sent him. The seam, Christ is true. Chapter 8, 14, "My record is true." Verse 16, "My judgment is true." Now this is not accidental. Right throughout this gospel, you have this emphasis upon the words of Christ being words of truth. Now let me sum them up for you. And I will have to be here extremely brief and cover a lot of ground in a very, very few words. The words of Christ in John will come under five categories. They're sovereign words. First of all, let me start with the significant words. Before I get to the sovereign, that's the part I really want to be quite honest. But the significant words. I mentioned words that here are unique or more used in John than any of the other Gospels. But think of the word love. You can search the whole of Greek literature, you'll not find it. You'll not find it. John takes this word and it's one of the key words of the whole gospel. Love. What's the meaning of the incarnation? What's it all about? It's God's love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4. How do we know the love of God? Herein the love of God is manifested. That he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love. Then another key or significant word is life and light. And these are the great results of God's love in Christ. And how do we enter into light and life and the love of God in Christ? By faith, believing. And that's another key word in John's Gospel. So there are significant words. Watch them carefully.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.